Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Snake Believe by Carla Doyle. Narrated by Lexi Evans and Tom Campbell. Chapter 1. Cora. As the fluff girl for a popular online magazine, I write about topics that get quick clicks. Fashion, hair, and makeup trends. Dating do's and don'ts, tips to improve your sex life, all things I have zero expertise in, because I rarely leave the snug safety of my one-bedroom apartment. My wardrobe consists of clothing designed for sloth-level comfort. It's been over a year since I set foot in a hair salon, and the closest thing to makeup I own is a cherry chapstick. As for dating and sex tips, let's just say I'm the last person who should be giving recommendations. Real-life me is about as cool as an unplugged refrigerator. Based on my article's clicks and the affiliate earnings from the products I endorse, my online persona is hot as city pavement in summertime. So much so, my boss asked me to write a piece for the front page. A legit piece of journalism with actual interviews. My first opportunity to flex the degree I busted my butt to earn. Of course, I jumped at the offer. I blurted a yes as soon as my boss said he had a monster of an opportunity for me. In hindsight, I should have listened longer. Then I would have known he meant the words literally. Would I have said yes anyway? Even if I'd known everything this assignment would entail? Abso-freaking-lutely, with emphasis on the freak part, based on the subject material. Turning down the chance to see my byline on the front page would be crazy. This could be my shot at something bigger than the trending page. Not that there's anything wrong with that chunk of real estate. Trending has paid the rent and kept the Uber Eats flowing to my door regularly. I have no regrets, but I also wouldn't be sad to move on. I'm up for the assignment, even though it required me to put on pants with a zipper instead of an elastic waistband, and heeled leather boots instead of slippers with terry cloth-covered memory foam insoles. My usual messy bun is on hiatus, replaced by a freshly coiffed style that brushes my shoulders. I'm even wearing real makeup. Okay, just mascara. But still. And yes, it is the brand I promised would change my readers' lives in last month's column. And you know what? I do feel like my life is about to change. Cosmetics and clothing don't get credit for the fluttery feeling in my stomach, though. This sensation is bigger than shining up my exterior. I'm at a turning point. The turning point. This is where I pivot. First, I need to write the article that requires leaving my apartment for something other than curbside grocery pickup or a drive-thru run to meet my caffeine quota. I tried convincing my boss that I could do this piece remotely. I've proven myself with 3 years of pajama-powered, super-clickable content. Travel was mandatory for this gig, and not by my editor's choice. Turns out, he didn't pluck this concept from his brain or borrow it from a competitor. This piece is by request. The mayor of Screaming Woods reached out to the magazine looking for some positive spin on the town, in return for what will undoubtedly be extremely clickable content. Now that Screaming Woods' 2-decades-long secret is out in the open, they'd rather not have visitors armed with wooden stakes, silver bullets, and pitchforks. They want the world to understand that monsters are people, too. That's the story. Certainly not one I ever imagined writing, but when the universe drops gold in your lap, you grab that nugget and run to the bank with it. Or take a 2-hour flight followed by an ass-numbing drive with it, in this case. But I'm here now, ready to spend Screaming Woods monsters into my personal gold. The town unfolds around me as I drive. At a glance, there's nothing unusual. Same blue sky, white clouds, green grass you'd find pretty much anywhere. The trees, buildings, cars, everything's normal. Until I spot my first monster. At least 7 feet tall with dark fur, he has insanely broad shoulders, glowing red eyes, and a set of horns that make even the biggest elk jealous. The man, I should call him a man, right, is walking his dog. A small, fluffy dog with a yellow bow wrapped around a tiny ponytail atop its head. Talk about opposites. The monster man must feel me gawking because he turns his head at the exact moment I pass. Meeting my gaze, he smiles. At least I think that's a smile, though the rows of jagged teeth are menacing, and raises one hand to wave. Okie dokie, shit is officially real. I quickly return the gesture before focusing on the road ahead. When I accepted this assignment, I had to sign a contract stating I understand that all the town's monsters were once human, and therefore will be treated as such. No problem there. Journalists don't have bias. Not the good ones, anyway. And I'm great at my job. Besides, I've never been afraid of monsters. Not in books, TV, or movies. I'm the perfect candidate for this opportunity. Aside from the leaving my apartment and having face-to-face interactions part. By the time I arrive at the small motel where the town's administration has reserved me a room, I've seen monsters with horns, wings, fur, tails, and hooves. They didn't all randomly wave at me like the first one, but aside from their appearances, they seemed like normal people going about their lives. Zero scariness factor. I understand the mayor's concerns for the reputation and safety of Screaming Woods and its citizens, but I can't imagine anyone being fearful here. Any niggling concerns I had when I committed to delivering a positive article are gone. This piece is practically going to write itself. I park my rental car, collect my bags from the trunk, then head into the main office of the cheery, charming building. The front desk is vacant. Or is it? One of the monsters I'm scheduled to interview is an invisible man who owns a coffee shop downtown. But maybe he's not the only one. Hello? I ask, shaking my head when silence ensues. Of course nobody answers, because I'm alone in the room. An invisible man would have greeted me when I walked in, obviously. Plus, I'd see his clothes. In town less than 5 minutes, and already my mind is in monster overdrive. I step to the counter and tap the classic silver bell sitting on the desk, then pull out my phone to appear busy and nonchalant. Eager as I am to get settled in, I don't want to seem pushy or impatient. Peopling isn't my strong suit, even in familiar situations. Peopling with monsters takes it to a whole other level.
Be right with you,
a man calls from down a short hall. I lean over the counter, ready to assure the owner of the smooth voice that there's no need to rush, but all that comes out of my mouth is a strangled little sputter. Forming words is impossible now that he's walking toward me. He's just a man. He's just a man. No matter how many times I internally say the words, my mind refuses to believe them. I'm not afraid of monsters, but I am afraid of snakes.
Welcome to the Sunnyside Motel, he says once he's behind the check-in desk.
Nope, I can't do it. I feel my mouth opening and closing, but nothing's coming out. And I'm shaking, head to toe trembling.
You must be Ms. Raven, the journalist from the magazine.
I manage a small nod. Then he smiles, I think. It's hard to tell because his mouth is wide and almost lipless. Every inch of visible skin is green and scaly, and he stares at me with unblinking yellow eyes. No screaming, no running. He's just a... Before I can mentally complete the sentence, a long black forked tongue slithers out of his mouth. Only for a moment, but that's all it takes for my knees to buckle and the world to go dark.
Leroy. For a small woman, she made one hell of a thud when she dropped. I should have seen it coming. Every drop of color drained from her complexion when I walked into the room. Then there was the speechless fish gaping. She's not from Screaming Woods, but she knows it's a town full of monsters. That's why she's here. And as monsters go, I'm not the scariest one around. If she faints at the sight of me, she might as well skip check-in and go back to wherever she came from. That's a suggestion for later. Making sure she's okay is my first priority. Miss Raven. Given her extreme response to my appearance, I shouldn't be the first thing she sees when she opens her eyes, but there's no one to take my place. Aside from the cleaning staffer who left several hours ago, I run the motel alone during the day. One person is enough, with only 6 units to rent. A soft groan passes through her parted lips, and she turns her head side to side on the folded sweater I slipped beneath it. Miss Raven, my name is Leroy. I'm the owner of this motel. I say, as her eyelids flutter, I'm the man who spoke to you before you fainted. You went down quite hard, so don't sit up too quickly. No worries about that. Her body stiffens, and she clamps her arms over her chest. Rather than open her eyes, she pinches them closed tighter. It's been over 20 years since the fateful night I morphed into a snake man, and nearly as long since somebody reacted to me so dramatically. If this woman wasn't an invited guest of the mayor, I'd... Well, I don't know what I'd do. Not be rude. That's never been my style, even as a young human male. I rise from my crouched position, then put distance between us. I'm standing behind the counter now, Miss Raven. It doesn't appear that you're bleeding, but you have a large goose egg on the back of your head, so I advise you to take your time sitting up. Would you? She exhales, the action deflating the rigidity of her form. Even in her supine position, her shoulders seem to slump. Never mind. Would I what? I can't guarantee I'll accommodate your request, but neither of us will know until you make it. Turn around. The words are barely a whisper, yet they're unmistakable. This woman is in my hometown, in my place of business, and she has the audacity to ask me to spare her the discomfort of viewing my face? It's not you, it's me, she says softly. I... Wrinkles form at the bridge of her nose, then she sighs. A defeated sound, as if she had all her money on red and the ball dropped on black. I'm terrified of snakes. Then I'd say we have an it's me and it's you problem, Miss Raven. I'm so sorry. She claps both hands over her face. I shouldn't have asked you to turn around. That was incredibly rude and insensitive of me. I'm a hot mess in more ways than I can count, but I'm not usually an asshole. This is a total me issue. I'll make sure you're still paid the full amount for my stay, but it's probably best if I find another hotel, so I don't treat you horribly again. She shifts onto her side so she's facing away from me, groaning as she sits up. God, this is the worst hangover ever. Cute. Humor is a good sign. Can I get you some water? I'll roll it across the floor for you. No direct contact required. No, I'm fine. Clearly interpreting the comment as a dig instead of a genuine offer, she hurries to stand, a movement that her body rejects. Sorry, I want to get out of your way. I just need the room to stop spinning first, she says, plunking onto her ass. It's a nice ass, even in this position. Since I know she won't turn around and catch me staring, I go right ahead and look my fill. I'm an appreciator of the female form in all variations, but her shape is my favorite. A curvy silhouette that begs to be traced. I'm a sucker for a cuppable waist and grippable hips. So much so, I have to rub my palms against my pants to calm the itch to touch her. "You're not in my way," I say, and the offer of a drink was sincere. "Well, thank you. I'm fine, really." She touches the back of her head tenderly. "You weren't kidding about the goose egg." "I never kid about eggs." The small joke earns me a soft laugh, and the sound gives me a spark I'm an idiot to feel. "Fortunately, you stumbled over your bags on the way down. If it had been a direct drop, you'd likely be leaving on a gurney." There's no reason for me to feel warmth toward this woman, but the thought that she could have been seriously injured twists me up. "Take a few minutes to regroup while I make some calls to find you another room. Once that's taken care of, I'll arrange for a non-snaky taxi driver to get you there safely. Sound good?" "It sounds like a lot more than I deserve after treating you the way I have. I really am sorry." "Don't worry about it. I know you didn't walk in here intending to faint in fear at the sight of my face." She groans again, this one sounding pained, strictly with embarrassment. "Are you sure you want to help me?" 100%, I say, pulling up the number of the nearest B&B. "Thank you for being so kind and understanding." "No thanks necessary. I'm only a monster on the outside."
"Oh, of course. You know about the article."
Her hair moves like soft brown waves while she nods.
"Just for the record, I take full responsibility for this mess. I know I'm the problem. I'm only going to write good things about you and your motel. You don't have to worry about that. If that's why you're helping me find another place to stay."
"It's not, Miss Raven."
"Okay, and call me Cora. Or if that's too personal, given the circumstances, then Miss Benton will do. That's my real name. Raven is a pseudonym for the magazine. The owner likes all the writers to have cool names," she says, complete with air quotes.
Just like that, the urge to smooth my hands over her curves returns. The Miss prefix doesn't guarantee she's single, but it improves the odds. Not that her relationship status matters. She finds me repulsive. Can't even look at me. When she walks out of here, I'll never see her again, because I'm the last person on earth she'd want to lay eyes on, let alone other body parts. "Sit tight while I make some calls, Miss Benton."
"Will do," she says quietly, tucking her chin downward.
I'd like to think that's regret in her voice, in her posture. I'd like to, but I'm smarter than that now. Wanting something doesn't make it real. Not 20-plus years ago, when I prayed every damn day for a way to change back from a snake to a regular man. Nor the times I believed I was at the beginning of a relationship, then realized that the woman was only interested in the pleasure my snake anatomy can provide. The best thing I can do for both of us is to find Cora somewhere to go. Then do what she's doing right now. Never turn around to look back.
Chapter 2. Cora. The dizziness has worn off by the time Leroy ends another call with,
"Thanks for checking."
This time, though, he doesn't immediately tap the next phone number. That can't be a good sign. "No luck yet?" I ask from my embarrassing position, sitting on the floor in the middle of his lobby area. Thank goodness nobody else has come in since I lost my shit.
"I'm afraid it's worse than that, Miss Benton. There are no vacancies."
That can't be possible. Maybe he's only calling the nicest places, or is trying to stay within the same budget as my reservation here. I'm not picky. I can stay anywhere. 5 stars, 1 star, bed and breakfast, luxury suite. Heck, it can be a roach motel.
"Got it. Roach motel, good. Immaculate, well-appointed motel owned by a snake, bad."
I didn't mean it that way. I pinch my eyes closed. But really, it's my mouth I should keep sealed. This is why I should only be allowed to work from the safety and seclusion of my apartment. Live in-person communication always gets me in trouble, and this is definitely the worst time ever. I'm being a horrible person, plain and simple, and I hate it. You have a cute motel, and you're being so nice. This is all me. I had a terrible experience with snakes when I was young, and now I'm just... I shudder at the memory of that day in the field with my older brothers and the rattlesnake. It was a long time ago, and I'm overreacting. I just need a few minutes to turn off my brain. Behind me, he exhales, long and slow.
I understand. Everyone's fears are different, and unfortunately, I'm yours.
You're being way more understanding than I deserve.
Would you do the same if our positions were reversed?
Absolutely, I say without having to give it any thought. I'd probably have a bag over my head already to put him at ease.
Then don't give it another thought. As for the vacancies, there are literally none of any level or variety in Screaming Woods. I also checked availability in the nearest town. But no luck on that front either. There is a campground, if you'd like me to...
Definitely not. A shiver runs up my spine. Sorry, just... Camping is a hard pass for me. But thank you for asking.
I'm afraid you're out of alternatives, Miss Benton. For this week, anyway. Maybe you can reschedule your interviews and do the article at a later date.
That's not an option. If I don't deliver on this assignment, I'll be lucky if my boss lets me slink back to the trending page. I've got one shot at this, and it's now. Meaning, it's time to pull up my big girl panties. Stop being a neurotic mess, if only for the next few days. Carefully, I get my legs under me. Then, even more carefully, I turn to face him. He's built like a man, but with green scaly skin, yellow eyes with slit-like pupils, and that mouth. He's just a man, not really a snake. I hold my breath to suppress a squeak when his tongue darts out. Is it an involuntary thing, or is he purposely tormenting me? If it's the latter, I deserve it. It's only a few days, and I shouldn't have to see much of him. I can handle this, unless that's not an option anymore. Would you be willing to let me stay here? I understand if you aren't, after all the unintentional, but still awful, things I said.
The room is yours.
His attention shifts to the computer. After a few clicks, he places a tablet and stylus on the customer side of the desk, along with a key card.
If you would just sign the disclaimer, Miss Benton, I'll finish checking you in so you can get settled.
Is it my imagination, or did he kind of hiss all those words with an S sound? Of course it's me. No newsflash on that. It's always me.
Leroy. I haven't seen or heard from Cora since sending her off to Unit Number 2. Unless she snuck out via a rear window, she's still in her room. Even if she had climbed out a window, I would have seen her get into her car and drive away. The motel's layout provides a full view of all 6 units from the front office. And I've been watching, because I'm a considerate businessman, and she's a valued guest in Screaming Woods. That's the lie I've been telling myself for 3 hours. The truth is, I want to see her again, which is pointless and, frankly, a bit on the masochistic side. I've never had trouble attracting women, not as a young human man and not in my 21 years as a snake man. Once the dust settled on our monster-filled town, single women of all shapes, sizes, and species realized there are benefits to my new physiology. If I want female companionship, particularly of the physical variety, I can have it. Easily. Maybe that's the reason I want Cora's. She finds me so repugnant, she would rather have stayed in a roach motel than be forced to see me again. She's a lovely, soft, curvy challenge. After turning things over to my night employee, I step into my private office and close the door, then use the desk phone to call Cora's room. "Hello?" she answers on the second ring. The front of my pants becomes instantly tighter at the sound of her voice. It's been too long since I was with a woman, that's all. "Good evening, Miss Benton. This is Leroy. I hope I'm not disturbing you. I wanted to check and make sure you're okay. If you're feeling any nausea or other abnormal symptoms, I can call a physician."
"That's so thoughtful, thank you. Aside from the goose egg and a sore elbow, I'm okay. I'm sure I'll be fine."
"Good to hear. If that changes or you need anything, please call the front desk, regardless of the time. My night clerk will be there until 8 in the morning, and I've already informed him of your situation. He's at your disposal. His name is Fred, and he's a blob monster."
"A blob monster?"
Based on the incredulous inflection in her question, I'd guess she's wearing a wide-eyed, open-mouthed expression. I bet it's adorable. "Yes. Are you afraid of blobs, Miss Benton?" I ask in a tone I hope she interprets as teasing. A soft, feminine groan fills my ear.
"I don't even know what a blob is. I'm so unprepared for this assignment. I had to sign a form saying I'm not afraid of monsters, and I thought I wasn't, but it never occurred to me that the term monster could mean practically anything. What if I am afraid of blobs? What if it turns out I'm afraid of everyone in town?"
"I'm sure that won't be the case. You were startled by me because of a pre-existing snake fear, not because I'm a monster. Why don't you come into the lobby and meet Fred? I'll tell him you're on the way, and I'll stand down the hallway near my private office. I'll be close enough to help if needed, but out of your view."
"I don't deserve your concern and help. Why are you being so nice to me?"
I lean back in my chair, massaging my temples with my free hand. I'm only doing this because she's the first challenging woman to come my way in years, and I could use the distraction, not because I care about her. Besides, the article she's writing will be a boost for business, mine and everyone else's in town. If it's inevitable for the world to become aware of our monster population, I'd rather it be at the hands of someone down to earth and genuine. Cora certainly seems to fit that description. There are a lot of good people in Screaming Woods who deserve to have their stories told. I'd hate to be the reason you don't hear them.
"Okay," she says softly. "I'll come over and meet Fred."
"I'll let him know."
"You'll be there, just in case?"
Damn, her voice does things to me. "I'll be there, Miss Benton, right down the hall."
"Thank you, for everything. I've been staring at my suitcase since I came to my room, trying to decide if I should call my editor and tell him to reassign the story."
"You won't need to make that call." "I'll make sure of that, no matter how many strings I have to pull or favors I have to ask."
"I wish I had as much confidence as you do."
She laughs lightly, and I swear to God, I feel the sound all the way to my core.
"I'm just going to splash some cold water on my face, then I'll be right over."
"No rush. I'll wait for you." In the hallway beside the front lobby. That's all those words mean, no matter how much bigger they feel when I say them.
Cora. After all my ridiculousness, his kindness doesn't make sense. I think he believes I didn't mean to be rude. Even so, most people would have told me to fuck off, or at least washed their hands of me. Leroy continues to do the opposite. The least I can do in return is try to get a handle on my fear. After freshening up a pinch, I unpack my notebook and pen. If I'm going to meet a blob monster, I might as well be prepared to take notes for my article. It's just past 7 o'clock when I leave my room. The September evening is an idyllic temperature, and the twilight sky is painted in swaths of blue and gold. The Sunnyside Motel sits on a quiet street near the edge of town. A strip of manicured lawn runs along the rear side of the building, and beyond that lies a wooded area. I don't know if any monsters live among
Sample complete. Ready to continue?